Chapter 7. Saturday morning arrives with the same excitement as my former game days. Because of today's powwow, the Supes have an early morning practice. I run by myself at a quicker pace than usual. During Grand Mary's alert moments, I tell her about Jamie's visit and my plans to take Jamie to the tribe's powwow. She doesn't show much of a reaction until I mention my other activity for the day. The news that I'll be pricing textbooks with Lily merits as big a smile as my grandmother can manage. I wrap Grand Mary in a hug and kiss her cheek. It makes both of us feel so happy that I hop around to kiss her other cheek before leaving. Later that morning, Lily drives us to the campus bookstore. "All that pep in your step wouldn't have anything to do with a certain hockey player, would it?" she comments as we walk through the parking lot. "Just excited to check out our textbooks and highlighters," I say. "Yeah, right," Lily says. "The old magic pencils theory." She doesn't share my belief that the perfect pen or pencil can improve my academic performance. We laugh, sharing a good mood that evaporates the second we're staring at the prices of the books required for American literature. "Holy!" Lily's voice carries over to the next aisle. "You ain't kidding," a stranger shouts back. After Lily drops me off, I eat an early lunch. Mom calls from Evercare while I wait for Jamie. "You and Lily headed to the powwow?" she asks. I give a distracted, as I pet Harry. "You girls be safe. Call or text me if you make plans for later." "Love you," I say, brushing away the smallest pang of guilt. Protecting Mom from full disclosure isn't the same thing as lying. She won't care that Jamie is just a friend. Once she learns he's new in town, Mom will launch the Inquisition. "Who is this boy? Where is he from? Who are his parents? How do we know he's a good person?" It's a kindness to us both, really, to spare her from anxieties kicking into high gear. My mother's superpower is turning my ordinary worries into monsters so huge and pervasive that her distress and heartache become almost debilitating. I can protect her from that hurt. Jamie's truck pulls into the driveway. I slide my cell phone into the pocket of my cut-off jeans while jogging over to the passenger side. "Hey, buddy," I say, climbing into the truck. "Thanks for the ride." After I told Lily everything that happened during yesterday's run with Jamie and at Grand Mary's room, I decided I needed to pull back and emphasize the buddy part of the new friendship. "No problem. Thanks for letting me go with you and showing me around, Donis." "It's my duty as ambassador. Everything you ever wanted to know about powwows but were too afraid to ask," I say. My back pocket buzzes. It's a text from Lily. She rarely texts because her cell phone plan charges for each one sent or received. "Lily, can I please text sex stuff about JJ and you not be mad?" Me: "This seems V important to you." Lily: "VVV important." Me: "You have a free pass for filth. Let it fly, my friend." Jamie takes the scenic route to the powwow grounds. The Superior Shores Casino and Resort spans across a massive amount of riverfront. It looks like it should be on the Las Vegas Strip rather than in our small town. "Okay, I got a question. Why is the tribe called the Sugar Island Ojibwe Tribe, but the casino's on the mainland?" "The tribe had claim to land along both sides of the river," I say. "They settled a land claims case with the federal government 20 years ago and used the money to buy an old factory and dock. 10 years later, they opened the casino and just kept expanding. Per cap started about 5 years ago." "Sounds like you have some feelings about the per capita payments." I pause to read the incoming text. Lily: "Tell JJ ambassadors reward their soup for every goal." Me: "You little perv." "Sorry, Lily needed something," I say, shoving my phone into my back pocket. "Auntie says per cap isn't good or bad. It just kind of amplifies whatever's going on with a person or family." I point for Jamie to turn toward the satellite res. "People judge how a few members spend their money and say petty stuff. But there's lots of good things happening, too. Families travel, buy a nice car, or put a down payment on a house, go to college." My words instantly echo with the biting tone from Auntie last Friday as she left for the blanket party. go to college, snag Jamie, live your nice life. My giddy buzz about bringing Jamie to the powwow deflates a bit. This weekend, she and Art are parking their RV on the edge of the powwow grounds by the woods. They'll visit with friends from other tribal communities who travel to powwows across the country and into Canada. The twins will play with cousins and powwow friends. It would be a good time to sit with Auntie and tell her what's still on my mind from the night of the blanket party. Jamie opens his mouth to ask another question. "So, buddy," I cut him off, "do you speak other languages besides French?"
"Spanish. What about you?"
He follows the small directional signs that are on nearly every corner the closer we get to the powwow grounds. French, a little bit of Anishinaabe Moin, and a bit of Italian. But that's mostly for the swear words. He turned my question back on me, I notice. Oh, and another good thing about PerCap? More Nish kids play hockey. Figure skating, too. When my dad played, the firekeepers took up a collection for new skates and gear. He always said there were other guys on Sugar Island who should have been on the best teams with him. Another text buzzes. Sorry. I apologize again, with the explanation, Lily. Lily, tell him you lost your V in an ice shanty. That's so youp. Me. More youp than losing it in a deer blind? Lily. I was 12, didn't know better. This time I turn off my phone and set it in the drink holder between our seats.
Can I ask what happened? Jamie asks. To your dad, I mean.
I blink in surprise that Levi hasn't filled him in yet. Bit of a scandal back then. My mom was 16 when she got pregnant, and my dad was a poor Nish from the res on Sugar Island. I'm not sure why I'm telling him this. Maybe because I get to be the one to tell him rather than someone filling him in with juicy gossip. The night my mom told him she was pregnant, they got into an accident on the island and my dad broke both legs. He didn't get the right medical treatment, so his legs didn't heal properly. It was before the casino opened and he couldn't get work anywhere in the UP.
It must have been really high unemployment back then, huh?
I stare at my buddy. Has Levi really told him nothing? My dad couldn't get a job because my Zuganosh grandpa was the mayor of Sault Ste. Marie and owned one of the biggest construction companies in the UP. And he and Grand Mary didn't care much for Indians, especially ones who knocked up their only daughter. But Jamie lingers at the intersection even after the other cars turn.
You're Indian.
Yep. I stare out the window when he resumes driving. Anyways, he needed a job, so he followed a cousin to Northern Ontario. I didn't have much time with him before he died in a logging accident when Levi and I were both 7.
Donis, that's awful. I'm so sorry.
Jamie's compassion is his best trait, I think. Miigwech, I say.
You and Levi were both 7? How does that happen?
I shrug. I heard it was the whiskey. Jamie waits for me to say more, but I'd rather stay quiet until the complicated feelings, which arise whenever my Fontaine and Firekeeper worlds collide, make sense. And there's no telling how long that might take. The lot of Chi-Mukwa is filled to capacity with powwow overflow. Jamie manages to find a narrow spot along Ice Circle Drive and demonstrates expert parallel parking skills. That's Lily's Jeep. Cell phone in hand, I point to the lone vehicle in a clearing beyond the ice arena.
Why does she park all the way out there? Is she worried about getting blocked?
No, she's just really bad at parallel parking.
I could teach her, Jamie offers.
She thinks her method is fine. I smile mischievously. I'll bet if you spoke French when you offered, she'd agree to anything. Jamie blushes, and I feel my giddy buzz return. We follow one of the many clusters of people spilling from the sidewalk into the road. Drumbeats grow louder with each step toward the powwow grounds. A steady breeze and intermittent shade from puffy cumulus-humulus clouds save us from frying in the August sun like ants under a magnifying glass. Perfect powwow weather. A tingle runs the length of my spine as I observe a hulking figure squeezed behind the steering wheel of an approaching tribal cop car. TJ Kiwaden.
I love you, Lorenza. The only person to call me by my middle name. We dated for 2 months before we started snagging. But once we did, he thought it was pervy to use my first name, which translates to daughter. He dumped me without explanation 1 month later. Stopped calling. Wouldn't look at me in the AP classes we had together. I flip the bird in a smooth pan motion as Officer Keywaden passes by. So much for staying under the radar. Jamie gives a low chuckle. Not a fan of law enforcement, huh? Nope. I change the subject. Have you been across the river to Sioux, Ontario? Yeah, my uncle and I went to the mall. I had to get a new suit for game days. I'm guessing yous get searched at the border on your way back to the U.S.?
Yeah, Jamie says slowly. Why?
I just assumed your uncle is also, visibly nish. Jamie nods, confused, and I continue. Border guards in Canada ask if you're bringing any firearms into their country. On this side, they just want to know about cigarettes, unless you're visibly nish. Then you get the full questioning. And if you're nish and black, like my Uncle Art, you get a gun pulled at you at the border with your nish wife and baby daughters in their car seats. Jamie studies me.
Man, Donis, I had no idea that racist bullshit happens here. It makes me angry that your aunt and uncle had to go through such a horrible experience.
And that's why I'm not a fan of law enforcement, among other reasons. I look down. My Aunt Teddy rarely crosses the border now, and when she does, she never has Art or the girls with her. As soon as I could drive, she had me shop for them across the river. Not only am I the palest nish, but I have a Canadian birth certificate because I was born in Montreal. So it makes my border crossing less complicated. Jamie's been incredibly sympathetic throughout our conversation, so I expect him to respond the same way now. Instead, he remains quiet and focuses on the birch trees nearby.
Do you ever wish you could do something to truly make a difference? He says finally. Solve a problem and improve things for people? Not just for those you know, but something big enough to impact even people you'll never meet?
Of course, I say. I want to become a doctor and help people heal and do research that can benefit tribal communities. But for now, I do small things to help. Like go across the river to get my aunt the limpa rye bread she likes from the Swedish bakery. My mom has me bring back over-the-counter medicine that's way cheaper over there. Plus, Tim Hortons coffee for Art. I glance down and pull at a thread on my cutoff jeans. It probably seems insignificant, but I know it makes a difference to my aunt and uncle.
Kindness is something that seems small, Donis, but it's like tossing a pebble into a pond and the ripples reach further than you thought.
Jamie smiles, and as if confirming his words, the warmth of his kindness ripples through my body. I hope I'm not blushing. You must think it's strange, I begin, eager to change the subject. A foreign country is right next door, and I go for coffee and Sudafed, and Canadians cross the river for gas and milk. But when you live somewhere forever, I suppose everything seems normal. Jamie gives me an odd look, curious and melancholy at the same time. I never live anywhere long enough to find out what normal feels like. He hesitates, like he just admitted something he shouldn't have. Before I can ask him more, we're interrupted by a group of skateboarders rolling past us. Like a flock of birds, they curve their route in unison to avoid a cluster of people in the road ahead. There's a startling pop, pop, pop sound. In the next instant, I am face down on the road.